God's in this house. Yield to His presence. Yield to Him. It doesn't matter what the program is. It doesn't matter what's going on around here. I feel the Holy Ghost a moving across this house. You're here tonight. Hear me. If you're here tonight and you're lost and undone without God, if I was to preach in this service tonight, I was going to preach on the backslider and his misery. The backslider in this misery. Hear me. There's men and women in this house that you're away from God. You used to know Him in the power of His might, but you are away from Him tonight. You do not know Him. If you leave this world, you're going to go to hell without God. I said you're going to go to hell without Him. But you hear me. You say, preacher, I know I'm backslid. I know I'm away from God. And I know if I should die, I'm going to go to hell. I differ with you. You do not know it. For if you knew you was going to hell, you'd grab a hold of this carpet and you'd claw your way up to this altar. I said you'd claw your way up to this altar, pleading with God, save me. Don't let me go to hell. Don't let me die lost. Don't let me lose my soul. Don't let me die without you. You hear me? You're here. You're here and you know it. God moved on me in prayer this afternoon. There'd be backsliders in this house tonight. You're away from God. And you're not ignorant on how to get back. David committed adultery. The Holy Ghost talked to me this afternoon. You hear me? David committed adultery. But the great renouncing and the pulling of hope and victory to that man that tricked it, and a renouncing of that sin, was the fact he knew he tricked it. He knew he backslid, but his misery got more than he can handle, and he came back home. You hear me? I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach it. I feel like the Holy Ghost is here, and I'm going to tell somebody in this house, you're miserable tonight. The bottle ain't satisfying you. The nightclubs ain't fixing it. And there's nothing else out there making you happy. And you know it. Your life is a shamble. You have tasted the wine of God's presence, the power of the Holy Ghost. But you're away from Him tonight. And you're miserable. The counterfeit you put up as though you're in control will soon be taken down. You hear me? It'll soon be taken down. You'll go to pieces when weeping before the throne of God. Don't let me go to hell. I had a man look at me. Am I wrong here? I don't want to step out of the way. Hear me, I had a man look at me and he told me, he said, preacher, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell without God. I said, no, sir, you don't know it. If you knew it, you'd grab the dirt that you're standing on and crawl at it and make your way somewhere to God to keep you out of hell. I'm telling somebody in this house, the devil said it's over with. For you, you'll never get back. But I'm telling you, backslider, he's looking for you. He's a walk in the aisle. He's a searching for you. He wants you back. He wants you out of that world of sin. He wants you out of it. He wants you away from it. He wants you back home. It's been a miserable journey. It's been a miserable, miserable journey. God said, you can come back. I don't care what they said out there. Did you hear me? Come on. I don't know why I feel the Holy Ghost so strong about this backsliding condition. But this day God has dealt with me. You hear me? There may be preachers out there to preach that you can't come back. But you're looking at the face of a little fat preacher that'll tell you, Christ said, I'm married to the backslider.
Hello. I'm married to him.
He didn't divorce you. You divorced him. The contract still stands. You can come home if you want to. I said you can come home if you like. You can come back to the Father's house. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you can come back to the Father's house. The table is spread. The Master's calling. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. You've been out long enough. You've been away long enough. It's time to come back home. It's time. We're about to leave here. We're about to go to the Father's house. Come home. Come home. Come home while there's time. I've wasted it. The Lord dealing with me. I wasted it. I wasted it. And I squandered it around. It doesn't matter. God's not calculating what you've lost. God's not even calculating where you've been. He's wanting you back. Sister Groves, this night the Lord has looked upon me to help thee, and help shall come. But there's someone else in this house that God has dealt with in this house. You need to come home. One man said one time, he said, my tongue, my conscience has 1,000 tongues. And every tongue tells a tale. And in every tale, it condemns my soul to hell. Who's miserable? Who's the most miserable man living? Is it that drug addict, that prostitute? No. The most miserable person living is he that has kissed the face of God and has walked away from Him as though he has never known Him. What made Judas commit suicide? It wasn't the fact that he just sold the Savior. It was the fact that he backslid and sold precious blood. Mister, that's what you done. You sold precious blood for the world. But the power of that redeeming grace is beckoning you. Come back. I've got more blood. I've got more blood that'll wash you, that'll cleanse you, that'll forgive you of your sin. You can come home. You can come home. Can I do what I feel right here? Is that all right? Clear me a spot right here. Clear me a spot. Hallelujah. When Hamilton Robinson had wrote that song, Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. Hear me, please. No going out. Backslid and drifted away from God. After having the ability to sing and write songs. Lost his complete estate with God. In a miserable condition. He hit the highway to travel. He went to run from country to country, trying to cover up the Lord. Trying to cover up the misery of conscience. Said one day while in his traveling, one day in his running, weary of his journey in some foreign country, he walked into a park, sat down on a park bench, miserable as he could be. He sat there and a young lady come and sat down next to him. And when she sat down next to him, she began to talk to him and ask him, said, sir, how do you believe about eternity? How do you believe about the soul of man going to heaven or going to hell? He said, I try to ignore her. I try to turn her away. And then she spoke and she said, sir, what about this old song here that I've been reading? And the title of that song was Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. He turned his head quickly away from it. Tears running vehemently down his cheeks. He said, young lady, I'd give 1,000 worlds if I could just go back to the day I wrote that song. For I was the author of that one song. It was me. I had peace with God at that time. At that time I knew Him. That's the reason I could write, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But said, I'd give anything, anything to just come back. The little girl spoke up to him and said, Mister, in your own words, in the verse of that song, said, coming out of them streams of mercy is God's ever-loving grace that'll beckon you to come back. You can come back to the Father's house. And said, with that, he turned and grabbed a hold of the rope of salvation at that park bench and knelt down and prayed his way back through to old time salvation. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It's lost. It's over with. No, no. 1,000 worlds of no. It's not over. The brand new God of heaven who made this world wants to make you anew and let you fall in love with Him again. No man is more miserable than he that has known God and has drifted away from Him. I'm sorry. I know maybe we should have done something different. But I'm telling you, ain't a more miserable person living. That's why my alcoholic brother drinks night after night, day after day. It's not that he loves it. For when he looks at me at times, he said, I wish I could quit it. I wish I could get away from it. You know why? When he gets drunk and he gets out on, just strung out on a truck, you know what he talks about more than anything? It's the old days of God. The old days of power. The old days of what it was like in church. And looks at his own boys. This is his boy right here. This is his other boy. And tell him, don't go the way daddy's gone. Don't do what daddy's done. Why is he talking that way? It's the misery of the backslider. It's the miserableness of being away from God. It's the miserableness of not having fellowship with the Holy Ghost anymore. The miserableness that drives him to the bar. It's the miserableness that drives him to the nightlife. It's the miserableness. Pure outright miserableness, Brother Jeff. That drives him back to that stupor. Why? Because if I can quieten the voice of conscience to where they don't speak, then I'll be all right. I've got to talk to somebody now. The voice that you hear, a rock in your nerves, a rattle in your soul, it's God's mercy, a beckoning you to come back. And I tell you, there is a line unseen that I tell you every man that goes in between shall cross. And shall never return. And shall never come back. There is a place, mister, where you can silence the voice of conscience for the last time. There is a place where you'll get comfortable sitting in the Holy Ghost meeting and God all in the house and you don't even feel Him. There is a place you can get in a backslidden state where the glory could fall in the middle of choir singing and the Holy Ghost not even reach at you no more. Not even tug at you no more. You hear me? I'm telling you right now, I'm 35 years old, going to be 36. I've been preaching about 20 years. I've been in foreign countries. I've preached meetings in foreign countries. But you know what? One of the most horrible thoughts that crosses my mind, that torments me sometimes when I'm off in a foreign country, is getting lost out away from those that I'm with. Where's Brother Greg? Where's Brother Greg Francis? Hear me. This young brother right here goes to Mexico. Was a missionary to Mexico. He can talk to them. He can deal with them. He can talk their language. But I can't. I can't even speak to them. I don't know what to say. And oh, to be lost in some of them jungles, in some of them empty places in Mexico. It'd be a hard to a boy that couldn't speak. It'd be a hard to my own self to try to escape it. And that's the way you are, mister. You're in a world that you really don't want to be in. You're in a place that you don't desire. And God, yes, I'm beckoning you and I'm pleading with you. Come out of it! Come out of it!
Come out. Pull away from that world of iniquity. Accept the call of God. I'm going to get out of your way. But you don't need me to tell you how miserable you are. You can write a book on it. I wish I knew who I could go to. I'd go to you. It's my first time ever preaching here. First time ever meeting some of you. But you call it mere chance. God calls it a divine appointment. God, Brother Ron, calls it a divine appointment. What is God? What kind of God is He that He would condescend to such a low as I? I do not know. And to explain His love to me, it would be easier for me to tell you how He made a blue sky and how He made green grass and how He made dirt. I cannot tell. But oh, I can tell you, He loves you. And His love. You say, preacher, you're charismatic. Hogwash. The greatest love that's ever been given was when God looked at you and said, I forgive. I forgive. Preacher, the highway back up of God talking to me, what's going on inside of you? The highway back, it'll be so hard to get back up. I tell you, if I could just get one foothold on God, if I could just get to where I could touch just the hem of His garment, I'd make my effort to run back to Him and touch it and get back to the Father's house. Hey, preacher, brother, I don't want nobody to fall out with me. You're the pastor of this church, but we talk about love and we talk about preaching to the backslider coming back, but then we want to put limitations on them when they get up here, if they can come back or not. But I'm here to tell you in this house, I'm telling you, if it hadn't have been for God's mercy, if it hadn't have been for God's grace, some of you wouldn't be standing where you're standing right now. You wouldn't be standing where you're standing. But the reason I'm standing is because He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. I'd say this to close. One of the most saddest stories of my life. I stood in the presence of a backslidden preacher. I didn't this boy right here. It's his mama's brother. I went into a place, a business one day, and I walked in there to get some work done on a vehicle I was driving. Brother Lord, I pulled in and they put it in on the rack. I turned and I began to walk away. And a voice behind me hollered, "Brother Noah." Kind of startled me, and I turned around and I looked. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No." Began to walk toward him. All of a sudden, I caught his eyes. I said, "Marty?" He said, "Yeah." He dropped his head. I said, "Oh, Marty, Marty." He talked just for a few moments and he looked at me and he said, "Brother Noah, will you do me a favor?" I said, "What?" He said, "Don't never walk out." He said, "I'm miserable. Nothing makes me happy. Nothing satisfies me. I'm miserable." I'm going to prove to you exactly God's talking to you. You have flirted with the thoughts of suicide because of your misery. Walk with me, God. Walk with me, God. I've never been in this church. God gave me a burden for this place. And there's no better place to come home if you're from this area than among friends that love you. Will you walk with me, Pastor? I wet that couch with tears. I said, "God, let me walk down Misery's Lane. And let me find that man. Let me find that woman. Let me find that person that you're talking to, God. Let me find that individual, God, that you are reaching for. It says it's over with. It'll never happen again. Let me find them and let me tell them you love them. Let me tell them you want them back. David, 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 David. David, I feel the Holy Ghost screaming in my ears. David, you can come home. You come back to God. You come back to the Father's house. You come back naked and said it. You can come back, God. We'll put away your iniquities." Come. Without any further delay. I wish if I knew who I could go to, Sister Bailey, I'd run. As a man could run, I'd run to you. I'd grab you out of your seat. I'd pick you up and I'd say, "Come to me. Come with me. Come with me. Come with me. Your home, your life. Everything's wrecked and tore to pieces. But God says you can come to the Father's house. I want you to stand with me all over this place. All over this place. All over this place. Open up these aisles. Open up these aisles." While they play and sing something, I feel the Lord. Years ago, hey preacher brethren, years ago, I got over whether they respond to me or not. But it's not me that you're talking to. It's God, mister.
His joy was all gone. How would he?
God told me, young lady,
Just throw the rope. And the response is yours.
He bows before God.
How long must you stay out? How long must you stay away? Hey, it's just for one person, though.
Then David, God.
God's are reaching for you.
That's what was coming.
God's are pulling for you. God wants you back to the Father's house.
Tender mercy.
You hear it? I want every eye in this building closed. I'm not even going to ask anybody to lift their hands. I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything. I'm just going to ask you, will you reject Him again? You say, preacher, God's not dealing with me. I don't feel it. I don't feel it's my time. You'll feel that way in hell. You'll scream forever. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Let me out of this horrible place.
He's given to me.
Just play softly a moment while every head's bowed. I read something to Brother Jerry the other night. Somebody said, preacher, if a man dies and goes to hell, why cast him in the lake of fire? He's already know he's lost. Not necessarily. There's men and women that are going to close their eyes in this life. They're going to wake up in hell and not even know why they're there. What's the reason for that white throne judgment? It's God to give every man that dies lost, outside the fold of God's grace, a justifiable reason why I'm casting you into the lake of fire. On that dreadful day of judgment, you'll see that horrible mob come out of the vices of hell. You'll see men like Pilate wringing his hands, thinking, I've done it justice. I've done the best I could. But your best, Pilate, that you thought was the only thing you could do, costed you your soul. Judas, the 30 pieces of silver that you chose to take and trade the precious blood of the Son of God for, you didn't even get to spend none of it, Judas. You didn't even get to go to the store. And you lost your soul. What made you go away from God? You don't even have it in your possession now. All you got is a bad memory and a miserableness. Why it's not there no more. Marty grabbed me and I turned to leave. He said, don't do it. Don't walk out like I did. He said, it's no fun. I said, Marty, what are you doing now? I drank a little bit. I go to the nightclub. See, mister, ma'am, you'll never drink another can of beer in peace and once you've known the Master. You'll never smoke another joint in peace once you've known Him. I feel God in this house dealing with somebody. I could stand here after 20 years of preaching and tell you story after story. Brother Pete Norris, my own flesh and blood uncle, he'll never be able to be saved. Never. I stood in the presence of his home, a backslidden preacher, had prayed for people and seen miracles take place. Jim looked at me one day as I was closing out a revival in the area in which he lived. He said, "Stay and preach one more night, and I'll get saved." I had my suitcase in my hand, my wife standing behind me. I was walking to the car to drive 1,000 miles back to the next meeting. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Jim, it's either now or never." I don't feel it's that way here tonight. It was that way that day. Brother Bailey, I looked at my own uncle, and he had a telephone in his hand. Honey, did he not? Talking to his own daughter, and dropped it to his side. He said, "Tonight." I said, "God said not tonight. Now." Since that day, he's tried to commit suicide 7 times. Can't die. The doctor looked at him one day and said, "Mr. Tackett, you got enough medication in your body to kill 7 men at one time. Why ain't you dead?" He said, "I can't die. He won't let me die." Called an airplane to flow to my church. Tears running down his cheeks. He said, "I come to hear you preach one more time. Mister, God's mercy is not as far from you as the devil wants you to believe. God's help to you to come home, young lady, is not far from you. He beckons your love back to him." Father in heaven, I move so scaredly in this position where I stand. For I feel the weight and the burden of souls upon me. And my heart shall be heavy this night. For in this house, you know every heart, and you lie not. There's men, there's women, there's individuals that this night, they're miserable. They are miserable. The pleasures of sin has been a season, but it's left a scar in their mind and in their conscience. I pray now for thy spirit and thy mercy and thy love to engulf their souls with an uncontrollable force of the reaching power of God that persuades men. Come back to the Father's house. Out of my hands, out of the hands of anybody in this building, into that nail-scarred hand, I lay the souls of every man and every woman in this building. I ask for your work to be completed. As they play and sing one more time, I ask you to please. You're not responding to me. You're responding to him that sent me. You're not responding to this church or this week of meeting. You're responding to him that's called you. You know why it's hard for sometimes for a backslider to come home? Because the misery of their falling becomes a heavier weight than the deeds of their falling. But you can come. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, will you help me pray, saints?